the Fade the Noise podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir Nathaniel Lundy. This is the Fade the Noise podcast. And Lundy, there are a lot of statistical milestones. A number of top players the NFL are chasing in Week 18. And I love to back guys with some incentives, to say the least, whether to achieve records or to get a little bonus in the contract at the end of the year for crossing a certain threshold. So I've got a list of names, and some of these you can actually find right now. We already talked about Cooper Kupp earlier this week and his his props that are out there on receptions. He needs a dozen to break the single season record that is currently held by Michael Thomas at 149. And you go to DraftKings right now, and it's 4-1 odds you can get under DK Promotions on the over 11.5 catches. He also needs 136 receiving yards. That is juiced to plus 190. A nice little bump there for him to get the single season receiving yards record, undercutting Calvin Johnson in that category. But there's some other guys, like Mike Evans needs 54 receiving yards for 1,000 receiving yards achieved in 8 consecutive seasons, which I believe would be the only player ever to do that in NFL history. Ja'Marr Chase needs 45 receiving yards for the single-season rookie record, but I don't think he's going to play, unfortunately. Kyle Pitts, though, fellow rookie, could be in action. It's sounding like he is going to go straight from his mouth at practice yesterday, despite the bulky hamstring. He just needs 59 yards receiving for the single-season rookie at a tight end. Mark Andrews needs 141 for the single-season record as a tight end in yardage. Jonathan Taylor, he just needs 266 rush yards for 2,000, which, you know, he'd be pulling a pretty heavy apple cart for him to get there, and I don't think he's going to be able to do that. But then again, it is the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Tom Brady needs an enormous game, like a stupid game, to break the single-season passing yards record. He's 488 yards shy of that. So some motivation there. A lot of these are not yet available, but once they do become available, I think you got to jump all over them, right?
Oh, yeah. I think you have to be able to take advantage of it. Look, I'm just looking forward to the weekend, Brad, because you know me. I hate tying up my money with season-long props, and we had a lot of those over the course of the summer.
I wait on those tickets to cash, too. It's ridiculous.
Right. So at this point, I am going to wind up with, because there are some that I already know have hit. They just haven't paid out yet.
They haven't paid. Right? Like, pay out already.
Right, exactly. So for me, this weekend, yes, we do have some fun props that we can go for. But Brad, it's already going to be a profitable weekend for your boy, because all of these GDMF tickets are finally going to get back in my account, damn it.
Yeah, it's only been, what, 6 months since you fired off on some of those?
Well, and it's partially your fault, you little SOB, because here we were having a good time over the summer. We were doing some baseball. We were doing all that. And then you started going, hey, have you seen these season-long props?
Player props in the NFL.
Have you seen what they have for James Robinson? And I was like, what? Like, you know, and I go and I make these. So I agree, especially the Cooper Kupp ones. I'm big on the Cooper Kupp. I'm also big on the T.J. Watt.
The 1.5 sacks. Yeah, that's another one I didn't mention.
I'm big on those, because I think those are both ones. Like, Matt Stafford's just going to keep force feeding him the ball because he knows how close he is to the record. And these guys obviously have had a phenomenal rapport all season long. I can't see that all of a sudden disappearing here in week 18 when Kupp's got the chance to break the record. So I'm with you. I think all of these are going to be fun. I think they're good ones to be able to bet on, because frankly, Brad, a lot of these other player props are kind of hard to figure out, because we don't know. You know, is somebody going to be out there for, you know, a quarter and a half and then they're done? Like, it's going to be tough to be able to make some of these props. But the record-breaking ones or the milestones, all about it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, again, keep your eyes peeled on some of those props once they become available at the legal sports books. With that, on this Football Friday edition, let's get to it with another Fade 5.
Number 5.
All right. We always do NFL player props in season. And this is not the finale, because we're going to have a ton of more player props around the wild card round, divisional round, championship round, all the way through the Super Bowl. But this is the last time that we're going to have such a wide variety offered in the player props market. But here is one that is straight up low key, off the radar, that probably going to have a very low handle, but I absolutely love it. Give me the over on Laquon Treadwell, 38.5 receiving yards. Pull this one at FanDuel Sportsbook at -114. Treadwell has done this in, I believe, 6 consecutive games, Lundy. And very quietly, a guy that's getting 5 to 7 targets weekly. He's got a handsome ADOT since week 12 of 12-plus in that category. And he's going up against the Colts. And look, Jacksonville is a 15-point underdog, so they're going to be throwing early and often because they're going to be chasing a massive deficit, likely from start to finish in this one. It's going to get a lot of Xavier Rhodes in coverage, who's given up 12.8 yards per catch this season. So this is a super low threshold for him to achieve. And again, he's done it every game since week 12, and I think that streak will not be broken. So Laquon Treadwell, fade or follow, over 38.5 receiving yards against the Colts, -114 at FanDuel.
They're just going to be flinging the ball all over the place in this game. What do they got to lose? You're Jacksonville, for crying out loud. I mean, you're ready for this season to be over, and you're actually in a nice climate. Like, you're not the players up in, you know, Minnesota and everywhere that
I'm
are looking forward to
right
to
now,
Cabo.
And it's 3 degrees.
Yeah, you're getting the weather that we just got done having in Denver. I just went through all of that and passed it your way. I'm on the over with this one, Brad. I like it. You talked about what he's done over the course of the last several weeks. He's also got – I love the ADOT stat when I'm looking at guys like this, especially down the stretch. So I think the Jag gets up over this number to wrap up Week 18.
Ah, Laquon for all the loonies.
Number 4.
All right, let's move on and work at another player prop. And let's go to the Tennessee Titans game and their matchup, taking on the Houston Texans. And the Titans have something to play for because they need to solidify their standing as the top dogs in the AFC. And this is why I love Deonta Foreman. And I'm taking the over on 67.5 rush yards. Lundy, this one opened at 62.5 on FanDuel, and now it's universally at 67.5 across all of the legal sports books, but still a great value. I think I'd play this sucker up all the way to 69.5 rush yards. You look at Foreman, he's got 3 100-yard games in his last 5, and you look at the matchup, and it's absolutely delightful. I mean, we have harped on this. We have spewed this repeatedly. The Texans are dreadful against the run. 4.89 yards per carry allowed, 121.3 rush yards per game surrendered to the running back position on the season. 13 RBs have gone over this total this year. And you look at the thickly built Foreman, he is netting 2.92 yards after contact per attempt. I know Derrick Henry is waiting in the wings. He has been activated off injured reserve. I don't think you're going to see him on the field this weekend. That just opens up the window for him to return in time for the postseason, which he is on track to do. So coming off 132-yard pounding of the Dolphins, I think Foreman's going to keep on trucking, man, to at least 70 yards in this one. So fade or follow, Deonta Foreman over 67.5 rush yards against the Texans, -114 at FanDuel.
Oh, like a Tonka truck, dude, just running dudes over. That's what Foreman is going to do because you're way, way too forgiving. We've had some teams that we have faded, and most importantly, we've had some stat categories where we have faded certain teams, and that is definitely the case here for Foreman. Extremely favorable matchup for him. So yes, jump on the over with this one. And you already talked about how it's gone up by 5 yards since it first populated. I would jump on this as soon as you can, folks, if you agree with Brad and I, because Brad, this thing could get up to 70.5 by the time we get to kickoff.
Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be higher than that, to be honest with you. If you want to pair it together, slap it with an anytime touchdown Foreman, get it at plus odds, I wouldn't hate it.
Number 3.
All right, let's move on here in the player props market, week 18 of the NFL season, and let's live in the land down under on one of the marquee names of the tight end position, and that is George Kittle. Yes, I'm going to take the under on 57.5 receiving yards, -111 at BetMGM. It is looking likely that Trey Lance will again be under center, the rookie quarterback for this San Francisco 49ers team that's got a win to get in LA against the Rams, and they're they're playing all the Rams, too, for a division title. So a lot on the line for both squads in this game. Now, Kittle ran the second fewest routes of the season, 14 in total, in the prior matchup against the Rams back in Week 10. He had 5 catches for 50 yards in that game. But with Trey Lance, slinging the ball in his general direction and a couple of starts this season for Lance. So Week 4 against Seattle and last week against Houston, Kittle totaled a meager 5 catches for 69 yards. So with Elijah Mitchell back in the fold, I think it's going to be a conservative game plan, especially with the greenhorn at the controls here, which means that Kittle's going to be more line tied, one of the more ferocious run blockers in the league, and not flashing his mitts. So again, fade or follow, George Kittle under 57.5 receiving yards against the Rams, -111 at BetMGM.
I hate this number, dude. Here's actually why. Just in general, I hate his stat line because, one, we're talking about Trey Lance. Okay, so you're right. We're talking about he's only given Kittle 5 catches in these couple of games.
Yep.
But despite missing the window of time that Kittle did, he still sits at 900 receiving yards on the season. So you would think, unless his agent sucks, he's got some kind of a bonus at 1,000, and dude is going to miss it because, A, he missed out on those games back in October this season,
yep.
But he's also managed to combine to only have 50 yards in the last 2 games. Oh, I feel for Kittle. Not that I wouldn't, trade bank accounts with him or anything like that. But I feel for it because I bet you he's got something in his contract to get to 1,000, and he's probably not going to be able to do it, in part because of the last 2 games and in part because this weekend he is stuck with Trey Lance.
Yeah, which stinks. It definitely drags the profile down. So, again, fading Kittle can make you a whole bag of Skittles. Stick around for my top NFL player prop picks in Week 18, plus bonus time across the smorgasbord of sports.
Number 2.
All right, let's get back after it here in Week 18 of the NFL season. And another team that has everything to play for. They got a 40% chance, according to ESPN, of punching their postseason ticket. They need a Niners loss. And they got to take care of business in the ATL. Of course, I'm talking about the New Orleans Saints. And for that reason, all the motivation at play, I love Taysom Hill in this game. And I'm going to take the over, not on rush yards, but on rush attempts. The number's at 10.5, and it's at plus odds. Plus 105 at Caesars Sportsbook. You look at the last 4 starts for Hill. He has been over this in every single game. He's had at least 11 rush attempts. And, he is the Swiss Army knife for Sean Payton. And his biggest strength is in RPO plays. And I think he's going to be calling his own number early and often in this one. Atlanta, defensively weak, honestly, across the board. This is a marshmallow soft unit, whether defending the pass or the run. But again, Hill is most comfortable in that RPO, tucking it, running it, and just plowing through initial contact. So, Lundy, no other reasoning necessary here. I'm going to follow the trend. I'm going to follow the fact that, again, they have everything to play for here to try to get into the second season. And for all those reasons and the glorious matchup on top of it, Taysom Hill, I think, is going to cash me a winning ticket on the over. 10.5 rush attempts at plus 105 again at Caesars. What do you say, fade or follow?
I follow on this one big time because it is all about the motivation. It's all about the look. There may not be a tomorrow for them if they don't manage to win. So I think that alone is going to go with the rush attempts. I think this is actually I'll pat you on the back, my friend. I think this is actually a really smart angle to take on a player prop in this particular
smart?
Game.
Smart? You're giving me credit for that? No, that's impossible.
I am actually, but because as you look at the unpredictability. Because remember, when these two teams played in the earlier this season, the upset that Atlanta was able to pull off in New Orleans, it was with Trevor Siemian at quarterback. They
yes.
did not have Taysom Hill. And Siemian
yeah.
actually had a pretty decent game, to be honest with you. But you look at he's had these attempts in 4 straight, as we were just talking about, in terms of the games. I think he is going to want to call his number. He knows what's on the line. And I think Sean Payton's going to let him do it because I think figures the only way they're going to win this game is to somehow get creative, get Taysom Hill to be able to run on them. So I like this one. You stay away from the yardage. You don't look at his passing props or anything like that. But the rush attempts, oh, hell yeah. I think this is a really smart play, dude. Congratulations. You got a compliment from me from don't expect it again anytime soon.
Smart in my name in the same sentence. It is a rare occurrence uttered here on the Fade the Noise podcast.
Number one.
All right, let's move on to my top player prop in week 18 for now, whatever is available to us. And again, as I mentioned at the top of the show, a lot of those guys with those milestone motivations, you need to keep your eyes out and your finger on the pulse, because when those suckers show up, make sure you pounce like a panther on the over on a lot of those. But I did exactly that with this. And there's no statistical milestones here for Josh Jacobs. Maybe there's some sort of contract incentive. I have no idea. But he has all the incentive in the world to have a masterful game, because the Raiders need him to go out there and post some crooked numbers in the box score so they can win and get in. It is effectively a pre-postseason game. It is very much a playoff atmosphere that is going to be there inside the Darth Vader Dome on Sunday night between the Raiders and the Chargers in that must-win scenario. So Jacobs, the matchup on paper is outstanding. You look here over the last 5 weeks, the Chargers have given up 4.30 yards per carry, 105.0 rush yards per game to the running back position. 14 RBs have gone over the proposed 58.5 rush yards prop. And I think Jacobs is going to add his name to the list. Now, he didn't do in the first game. He only had, 13 for 40, which was uncharacteristic for him. But again, if the Raiders have a fighting chance of winning this contest, they have got to feed their beast. I think it's going to be a minimum 16 to 17 carries for him. And as a result, he will bowl his way to 70-plus rush yards. If you're into points betting, this might be one worth considering, because he could go much higher than that, given the weakness and inadequacies up front of this Chargers defense over the entire season. So, Lundy, fade or follow Josh Jacobs over 58.5 rush yards? He's going to shake and bake his way to a winning ticket for me. What do you say?
Yes, he will. He, as you said, there's no real motivation. I can't imagine he's got any kind of bonuses that he's playing. He's sitting at 740 yards on the season. I mean,
maybe 1,000.
Congratulations
so,
to his
yeah.
agent.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Get 250 yards,
to his,
man.
Right. If his agent got him some sort of bonus at 750, like, holy crap, dude, your agent is a wizard if you pulled that off. Last week against Indy, I think that's the stat to be able to look at. This thing sitting at 58.5. He had 16 carries. He averaged 3.9. He finished with 63. All you need is that. All you need, as you said, is get me to this 16 to 18 carry mark. And he's going to be up over this number, especially with as forgiving as the Chargers are to opposing running backs. It's been their MO for a big chunk of this season. So I like him for this number. I think you're right. I think it's 70, 75, maybe 80. I think he's going to keep getting ball to the belly over the course of this game. That is, unless these two just decide that they're going to tie and take a knee for, 60 minutes.
Oh, the only scenario that could occur, it is actually a real scenario that potentially could play out, as ridiculous as that sounds, is Jacksonville somehow has to overcome the fact that they're 15-point underdogs in spring.
Dude,
monumental upset.
Indy hasn't won in Jacksonville since 2014.
Well, that's got to change. It has to. But you never know. It's the NFL, man. Parity reigns supreme.
You think that it could happen, dude. But I'm telling you, September 21st, 2014 is the last time the Colts won in Jacksonville.
I kind of want to see that play out. Could it be a 0-0 tie and both the Chargers and Raiders punch their ticket for the postseason as a result?
It.
A gentleman's agreement between Brandon Staley and Bisaccia before the game. That would be some next level. That would be next level. Take all the unders, in other words. If we got any kind of rumor or any kind of substantiated information that potentially could occur. Well, anyway, I'm still digging on Josh Jacobs because that's so far damn fetched. And I know you are as well. Could get well north of this 58.5 rush yards line in the end. All right, to wrap up the pod, as we always do, it's bonus time. What else you got for me, Lundy?
Well, Brad, I am on what's our favorite thing in betting? A heater.
Heater.
I'm on. I'm a bit of one this week. Cooled off just a touch. You know, like when you're trying to, you're in the shower and you cool it down just a little bit, right? Just a little bit too hot. Cooled off a little bit yesterday. Yeah. However, it has been a really good week for hockey. There are only two games on the schedule tonight. I like Carolina on the money line. I like Washington on the money line as well. The Caps will be in St. Louis to take on the Blues. Carolina's at home against the Flames. So I like both of those individually. Carolina, a decent favorite at a minus 180. But if you want to pop both of those money lines together, that pays off at a plus 203. So I will toss that one out there. And then just for S's and G's, Brad, if you look with our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook, they do these weekly specials, yes, as you know.
Yep.
And one of the things that they always have each week is your shot to bet on what you think will be the highest scoring game of Sunday, over the course of all the games that are taking place on Sunday. And I am intrigued by the fact that the Niners-Rams game is at plus 900. I don't know why. Just call it a random gut feel. But I'm going to throw a half a unit on that one, because it could either be that the Rams just go absolutely bonkers, as we talked about trying to get Cooper Kupp record, et cetera. Or maybe Trey Lance shows us something and this is a better game than we want to give it credit for. So at plus 900, I'm throwing a half a unit on that one to be the highest scoring game on Sunday.
Man, I'd like to see it. I really would. That'd be outstanding.
Me too. I think it'd be a really fun way to be able to see who's going to get the NFC West title.
Yep, no doubt about it. Well, 9-1, I could get seduced by that juice. Speaking of getting seduced by the juice, let's go to the world of the NBA. I got a gut feeling here. I think DeJounte Murray tonight triple doubles. And it's plus 490 at FanDuel for him to do it. He's done it six times this season, Lundy. And of course, the Spurs are taking on the Philadelphia 76ers. But the reason why I like it, he is going to have to carry the entire load, because Keldon Johnson's in health and safety protocols, and so is Derek White. So two key members who log significant minutes for the San Antonio Spurs are not going to be in uniform in this game. So it's all going to fall onto the plate of Murray. And Philadelphia this season has been somewhat susceptible defensively, number 18 in adjusted defensive efficiency. So triple-double for Murray at plus 490, why the hell not? College basketball tonight. Give me the Ohio Bobcats of Ohio taking on Kent State in the Miggity Mac, and they're going to be Mac Daddies for sure. Bart Torvik has got this as a 9-point spread, 68-59. KenPom has got it at 70-61. So the 7 points to me seems like a bit of a gift. The Bobcats force a boatload of turnovers, 22.8% of opponent possessions. They're only giving up 0.974 points per possession as well. Kent State has had a lot of turnover problems this season. They're not particularly adept offensively either. So Mark Sears of Ohio, who has been outstanding this year, netting 45.7% from downtown, I think will guide his Bobcats team to a cover. And then I'll give you one more player prop, man, and I'll do a little same game action. I know a lot of people out there have been talking about Jonathan Taylor's player props, right? And Jacksonville, and you and I have already touched on this game. Well, the Jags have given up 119.2 rush yards per game to the running back position alone over the last 5 weeks. Taylor, as everybody knows, is the heart and soul of this team offensively, and this could be a 20 to 25 carry game unless they just, you know, blow the doors off of them. And then maybe late in the fourth quarter, you're going to get more Nyheim Hines and some of the backups instead. But his player prop opened at 104.5 and immediately jumped everywhere. It opened at 104.5 on FanDuel and then spiked as high as I've seen it at 115.5. It is now settled at 114.5 at FanDuel. If you don't want, you know, if you're scared away by that high number, and it's a hefty sum for him to get to, go same game parlay at DraftKings. Take that line down to 94.5 rush yards. Smack it and slap it together with an anytime touchdown. You could actually get it at minus 140, which is far more palatable and very buyable. So an anytime touchdown mixed together with that 94.5 rush yards over at DraftKings on a same game parlay. Again, you can get it at minus 140. So Good little strategy there. And that is a wrap on this edition of the Fade the Noise podcast. Please follow Lundy on Twitter at Nate Lundy. Follow me there at Noisy Huevos. Drop us a rating and a review if you enjoy this show, would you kindly? And as always, until next time, national title game on Monday. We'll have picks there. Fade or follow. That is up to you.
Fade the Noise.